there today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, the possibility of deportations being done to help free up accommodation spaces for new arrivals into Ireland from areas of conflict is a big concern for those already here. That's according to Lucky Cambule of the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland, who also said that the fact that Ukrainians fleeing the Russian invasion did not have to enter direct provision when arriving in Ireland has been one factor in why Ireland now has a crisis in accommodating people who are seeking refuge here. And Lucky is on the line now. Good morning, Lucky Cambule. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you for having me.
No problem. You're saying that people are, in quotes, freaking out that deportations could be used to lessen pressure on the system here. One thing is for sure is that the system is under extreme pressure.
That's very true. The system is under extreme pressure, as we have seen the numbers that we have not seen ever, even before this the direct provision was introduced in 2000. And why we are saying that the feeling on the ground is the fact that we know that there has not been any deportations for the duration of the pandemic. And there was an article about a week or so ago with the intentions of the government to start the deportations again. It's something that scared a lot of people who might be facing those deportations. And these numbers are alarming and are scaring people in terms of the possibilities of being thrown back to the countries where they fled from.
Particularly as well, Lucky, I know just up the road from us here in City West, there are a lot of people there who are concerned that they are going to be deported. There's also talk of perhaps Ukrainians being accommodated there at City West, which you feel might lead to overcrowding.
Yes, we are aware of the numbers there, and we've never seen people living in that way for a longer period of time, where we can understand a day or two where there's an emergency, but there are people that stay more than a week or two there with no living conditions at all for people to not have beds, to not have a proper meal, a proper shower. It's something that just needs a very, very urgent attention, because yes, the government don't know how many people will be coming tomorrow, for instance, in the International Protection Office, but we need to be able to think about those numbers as to where we're going to put the people when the reception centers are full. I know that they've been talking about building something somewhere, but let it be as fast as like yesterday.
I know a lot of people will, and you know, there has been commentary over the last number of weeks saying that we have a homeless crisis here in Ireland and that we should be housing our own. And while there is an argument for that, we can't hide from the fact that there are a number of people who are fleeing war, not only in the Ukraine, but in other places around the world as well, who are seeking refuge here in Ireland.
Yeah.
Just paint a picture for us, Lucky. There are people coming in from Ukraine, which we know, but there are also people coming in from other countries, and
yes,
those people coming in from other countries, do they have to go to direct provision while those coming from the Ukraine don't necessarily have to?
The procedure is simple. When you come in Ireland and you seek protection, and you then are housed at a reception center, which is normally the Balseskin in Finglas, and due to overflow, then there are other emergency hotels which house the people who seek protection. And then from there, once they are processed, then they are moved to the permanent direct provision centers throughout the country, okay, which we understand that that is also, you know, on overflow on in those centers. So then the people that come from Ukraine, when they were preparing for them, they put them in various separate places. But because of the numbers which they could not sustain, they end up putting them within direct provision temporarily. As we speak, there are Ukrainians which are housed with asylum seekers in emergency hotels and in other direct provision centers. It's just because they could not do any other way because of the space. In terms of the point that you also made in terms of housing our own, it's important. I mean, ever since I came in this country about 9 years ago, the housing crisis has always been a crisis. To pair the two between our own and the people that come in to seek protection, I don't think it's a fair statement, and it's not going to address the housing crisis that is currently facing everyone in this country. Also, just to make note of the fact that we just had the results of the census that has been done earlier, that it has been discovered that there are so many empty houses in this country that is three times more than the number of people that need houses. That is the stats that has been proven, that the government should be able to look into what is it that they can do with those houses that are empty, buildings that are empty, and house people. So that there is no one that is homeless in this country. We need to treat people in a very equal way, not to separate this kind of nationality to that one. Everyone that is a problem, that is a problem in their country, the host country has the legal obligation to provide safety for that person that have presented themselves.
I think the argument as well that could be made, though, Lucky, is perhaps we're biting off more than we can chew, in that where do we draw the line and say we can't take any more people in? We have Ukrainians sleeping in Dublin Airport, people sleeping on the streets. As you said, direct provisions centres around the country are overcrowded. I know you've even said yourself that Ireland is reactionary in dealing with the arrival of people seeking international protection, that we should be planning ahead. So the question there is, when do we draw the line and say, look, we actually can't take any more until we sort out what we're doing at the moment?
Yeah, well, that is the call for the government to think as to what is it that they can do to proactively deal with these matters. They are the ones that are policy makers. They are the ones that are making rules, so they can be able to come up with a plan that is seen to not contravene the human rights of people. So that the ball is in their court, but at the same time, human rights need to be upheld.
Okay, as we know, accommodation currently being provided to Ukrainians in student accommodation across the country as well. The Department of Further Education saying that that's on a limited time basis only. Yeah. And the new Gormanston Centre as well is to open up later this week as well. Do you think it's going to be solved any time in the future, Lucky, or what do you think the solution is here going forward?
Well, the student accommodation is a very, very, very short-term solution, temporarily. We need to be looking into long-term solutions in terms of what we have seen happening. And I know also the fact that there was a plan that was put in place by the government to say, how are they going to phase out the issue of direct provision, whereby people can have their own kind of space, and so that the most of the centers will be then like a transition center where you stay there for a short time and then you then move to a more permanent place where you can be able to stay there while your cases are processed. And also what the government needs to be doing is to ease the pressure of the people that are not supposed to be in direct provision. There are people, over 2,000 people, who are in direct provision as we speak for a long time, who have received their right papers to stay here legally, who are supposed to be housed somewhere. But the problem is there is no assistance that is afforded to the people to get to the housing market. You know, they are left on their own to seek for those kind of, I know they will talk about the support they give, that the NGOs are giving, but they don't reach everybody, and that they are not effective in finding those houses for the people. People over a year, 2 years, are in direct provision who are not supposed to be there. So those things should all these bodies should work hand in hand in terms of helping this minister to get his problem, You know, all these ministers need to be talking, start talking, the housing bodies, the councils, to talk what is it that we can do to make, to fast track the both the homeless situation and the people who are rightfully given papers to stay here. Mm. You know, all that should run concurrently.
Okay. Well, one thing is for sure, Lucky, is that the system is under extreme pressure. And we mentioned that from the outset. Yeah. And if we could wave a magic wand, we would and give everyone housing. But unfortunately, in this country, it is not that easy. And it seems as though the system is going to be under pressure for a long time going forward, yeah, unfortunately. But that is Lucky Cambule of the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland speaking to us this morning on Kildare Today. Lucky, thanks for taking our call and good morning to you.
Thank you so much.
Kildare Today. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. We're now heading over to the Selbridge Leaslip Municipal District and Councillor Edia Cusson joins me this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ciara.
You have asked the council, Ida, or you did at the most recent meeting on Friday, to provide an update on the siting of signage in Selbridge. This is in respect to KCC's control of consumption and possession of alcohol in the public place bylaws of 2020.
Yeah, and you can see the response initially was, yeah, we're not sure we need signage, that kind of thing. It's a question, and when you ask a question, you're really only allowed one more question. That's how MD meetings go, but I've had these kind of offline conversations as well. To put it mildly, Selbridge in 2017 had a programme called Community Action Plan on Alcohol, which is reducing the harm from alcohol in our community. And they had an action plan from then, we still have. There is now a programme, you will see events around Selbridge called Safe for Selbridge. That is the same group. It's headed up by Stephen Joyce from the Southwest Regional Drugs and Alcohol Task Force. One of their objectives was that we would look at the current bylaws and look to have them updated. And that was in the Selbridge area. That led to the whole county being updated. And yet we find then that we in Selbridge don't get any signage. So my question or my further referral was back to corporate and to say, please contact Stephen Joyce in respect of this. He will give you all the probably background that you might need and assistance, and let us please have our signage. And I gather that that is going to happen now.
Okay, and when would that happen?
Oh, it'll be happening very soon. The signs are ready. There is one. They're not, like, people say we don't want loads of signs of looking things. There's actually one on Carton Avenue, and it covers litter and drinking in public places at the same time. So the signs are ready, so we shouldn't have a delay on that one.
Okay, Ida, two motions here, I believe, on the Shackleton Road. The first one, you've asked for an update on the road safety review of the Shackleton Road, and also to include a time frame for the implementation of the recommendations.
Yeah, obviously I've been asking about the Shackleton Road since 2019. Even the one stretch from Skull na Monastrach down to the Clane Road Junction, that would have six exits from housing out onto it. It's like a highway there. There's no speed controls whatsoever, no build-outs, no pedestrian crossings, no anything. So I had asked as far back as then for an assessment for pedestrians, vulnerable users, cyclists, that kind of thing. It's heading there. It's not heading quick enough, in my opinion. I have asked that it be speeded up, literally, the process, not the traffic. So there won't be funding yet for this year, but we did fund the feasibility study to see what needed to be done. The results of that will be with us in a couple of months, we're told, before the end of this year, certainly, with funding requested for saying then for next year. And then obviously the next question, as I had in, as you said there rightly, when will the pedestrian lights be turned on there? And that is at the Shackleton Road at Priory Square. They would be part of the SHD that's currently underway on the Shackleton Road. And they would, as the response says, it would be the responsibility of the developer, who has confirmed to us that they will be done. And with everything going according to plan, they should be turned on by September. So that will be one small measure. If you don't mind, we've got some really good news in respect of another junction on the traffic road.
Just to note one thing with you, Ida, before you move on there, about the lights. They have noted, the council in the reply here, am I right, has this been updated, obviously, that they say they're unable to confirm a definite date, but now it's September, is it?
Yeah, because we would have got that report back a couple of days before the meeting.
Grant.
And I went about trying to chase it down more. So
it is September.
I've spoken to and have been told, all fingers crossed, because anything can go wrong, but that's the plan,
Okay. Ida, finally, you touch on...
With the junction at the end there as well, because I would have had many representations in last year for the junction of the Clane Road and the Shackleton Road to put in some improvements there for pedestrians as well and cyclists. There's two schools down that way who obviously have a lot of cyclists coming to and from. So there was no funding, it was going to have to wait, but actually the NTA have come up with the funds and that'll be done this side of Christmas as well, ASAP.
Okay, Ida, finally, you asked for an update on the accessibility measures identified. This is on the Maynooth Road cell bridge from Tesco Junction to the Main Street.
Yeah, and obviously that's something that has been on the go since Christmas. And between COVID and all of the works projects, I do fully understand that. But I also understand that we have legacy streetscape along there. It is quite difficult to do, so we need a big funding stream. But there are small measures that are ready to be done. The area engineer will walk with me during the coming week and we'll just look at that with a view to which ones will be done first. Because wheelchair users, I happen to see one myself even using the road to come down to the village from the Maynooth Road there, because they cannot navigate the footpath. So we will be putting measures in place ASAP there, as we've discussed.
Okay, and just to note that the council did say the works will be tendered out upon the completion of the scheduled road improvement contracts for this year. Yeah. When would that be then?
Well, they're going to do the very what we would call small but very meaningful, like the dishing of footpaths, making maybe one side could be better and then a crossing to where you would then have another part that would be accessible. So he'll map that out with me and we'll know where it's at least upgraded, and then he will be, as he said, tendering out, and that's because there's so many works undergoing in our area and you can see that. Can I give one small little message out to everybody, as we have such hot weather as well, in relation to hedgehogs? Anyone who knows me knows I love the hedgehogs that we have locally. I love them all. But anyway, locally in urban areas, we have a lot of hedgehogs. Sometimes people think they have rats when they see something out the back garden.
I actually thought I saw one for the first time in real life, only once, and I actually thought it was a rat.
People do, and they move very fast. When they run, they move very fast. So people often think hedgehogs crawl around, but actually they will run when they take flight. So just if people would leave our little shallow dishes of water somewhere, and they have to be shallow, put pebbles in if it's a little bit, not shallow enough, because if they fall in, they can't get back out. But just to say to people as well, to be mindful of them, and not just hedgehogs, but wildlife in this really hot weather, shallow dishes of water, and maybe check when you're swimming as well, because most hedgehog deaths occur from people being overzealous with a swimmer in around the edges, and that's where they live, in little corners is where they hide during the day.
Okay, well, you enjoy the good weather there. Bye. That is Independent Councillor Ida Cusson of Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District.
All right, getting to some of the messages then, can we just ask, do you know anything about the private sector getting the €1,000, or does any of your listeners know about when the private sector will get the €1,000 government bonus? I know the HSE staff have got it, but the private sector nursing homes has not got it, and this listener wanting to know if anyone knows anything about it. Now, we were speaking to Fiacra Henze on the programme about a month or two ago back, and he is kind of a representative of the private nursing homes, and he was saying that there's been no news of the government coming forward with that bonus. Now, as I say, that was a few months back. We haven't had an update since then, but if any of our listeners know, or if any of our listeners are working in the private sector, then do get in touch with us. There's another message here then from Mick in Meath with reference to your last piece on refugees in Ireland. We are 26 counties and doing the best we can for these refugees, and I really feel for them, especially the Ukraine people, but there's not been one mention of our own homeless yesterday on one of the hottest days of the year. All the drop-in centres were closed. Nowhere for these poor people to get out of the heat and cool off, or even have a decent wash or something to eat. All is well and good to be seen doing the right thing for the refugees, but we have to help our people first. I put that point to Lucky Kambule that some people have this, I suppose, opinion that we need to look after our own first. He is of the view that we need to treat all people equally. And, you know, while I know, Mick, the point that you're raising about the homeless people on the streets, we can't be guaranteed that all of those homeless people on the streets were Irish people. You know, a lot of them as well are refugees that don't have homes, or asylum seekers as well that have to be living on the streets. So it's hard to differentiate between nationalities and try to prioritise one, I suppose, people over the other. If we go to Mark Wall, then Labour Senator, he's with us now for Kildare South. We go from the north of the county down to the south. Mark, good morning and welcome to the programme again.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you very much for having me on.
No problem. Two issues that you raised in the Shannon recently. First of all, I want to start off with the rail fares and the prices down in the south of the county. We spoke to Jennifer Caffrey, who has set up a new organisation, or a group, a focus group by the Newbridge Community Development in the past, calling for the extension of the short hop zone from Salins as far as Newbridge. Anecdotally, we hear stories of people who are bypassing Newbridge train station in order to go to Salins train station to get the cheaper fare.
Yeah, absolutely, Owen, and I just want to thank Jennifer for all her work to date in relation to this campaign. You will be familiar that the local Labour Party branch in Newbridge also have a campaign going, where we've also met with Anne Graham, the CEO, and presented over 8,000 signatures with our campaign. This is a campaign that has to work. You mentioned people who are travelling and bypassing Newbridge Station, but it's not just alone Newbridge Station, it's other parts of South Kildare where they're travelling on the N7 up to Salins Station in order to achieve, and who can blame them, cheaper rail fares. And it has to change, Owen. Like, we are in a climate crisis. There is a fuel crisis as well, but people are actually justifying cheaper fuel, cheaper rail fares by actually travelling to Salins Station. And this has been going on a couple of years, Owen. And the government need to grasp this, and they need to change it. And in talking to Anne Graham and in talking, listening to her at the various transport committees, she's saying that the government actually can do something about this if they so want it. We have to welcome the reduction in the 20% reduction in fares, but this needs a bigger reduction. It needs a reduction for those that are travelling from Newbridge and Kildare Town and the Tyne and Munster Evan every day. We have created a commuter county, and now we need to help those commuters.
Well, that was the point I was going to make, because a lot of people then will be listening and saying, well, why do we just have to extend the short hop zone to Newbridge? Should it not be extended the whole way to Port Laois, including those stations that you mentioned, Athy, Kildare Town, Monastir Eavan, Port Arlington and Port Laois? Because that is a commuter route. People will get on the train in Port Laois, travel to Houston Station for work and do the same then coming home. So should that all not be made a short hop zone?
Well, from my conversations with the NTA, they're looking at this at the moment. I know colleagues have mentioned that to you as well, Owen, that they're looking at all the train fares outside of the short hop zone, and that should be welcome for all those train stations that we both have mentioned. Newbridge is obviously the biggest town, the 10th largest in the country. We need to concentrate our efforts on Newbridge, but also we cannot forget the other train stations. And I do believe the NTA, when they look at this, and I've made submissions to the Greater Dublin Transport Plan in relation to this as well, they will also include the other stations into maybe an intermediate or medium hop zone. There needs to be a change in fares. Mm. We cannot have hard-pressed commuters getting into their cars every morning and bypassing their local station. And if you're saving 500 to 1,000 euros a year, Owen, who can blame them? And that's what's happening. And, you know, I've had testimonials that are read out in the Shannon the other day from people who contact me almost on a daily basis at this stage, and they are bypassing their stations, and that is just simply not good enough for a government to allow that to happen.
And I made this point with Jennifer Caffrey when she was on the programme a few weeks ago as well, that not only is it about commuting in and out of Dublin, but commuting within the county is very expensive as well. For me, going from Salins, it's more expensive for me to go to Newbridge, which is 6 minutes down the line, than to go to Houston Station. So there needs to be a look at that as well within the county.
There absolutely needs to be a whole look at train fares. We have to encourage public transport. We are aware of other countries who actually have free public transport. We need to get towards that model, Owen, but unfortunately, that may be a couple of years away, but we need to look at that. We need to encourage people to use public transport more, and this is the start of it, and that's the campaign that's been started by Newbridge Community Development and indeed by our own local branch in Newbridge over the years, and we need to see results on this. It's going on too long now, and we need government to take decisive action on it.
Another issue that you raised in the Shannon, you were speaking at the Oireachtas Autism Committee. You're a member of that committee. You proposed that there should be at least one school offering the Special Needs July Summer Programme each year in every town in the state, and you're calling on the government to ensure that this happens. Do you think that's feasible? Will it happen?
Yeah, I do, Owen, and this is a huge issue for families, and families listening into your programme this morning, they'll be saying that their routine is totally upside down. You know, autistic people, they need routine, and that's the most important thing for them. And when they don't have July provision, when they don't have that summer programme, their routine is completely upside down, as I say, and they need something to happen. And I've been contacted by a number of schools, I've been contacted by teachers, indeed SNAs, but most importantly families, who are asking that we at least have one school in each town that will provide that summer programme. And I think that can happen. And I spoke with Minister Rabbit at that committee. I'm a member of that committee, and we've met a couple of times in the last months on this issue. And Minister Rabbit said that she did take this on board, that the department will look at it. So that's encouraging from that point of view. But it needs to happen. We need that routine to continue for so many families that have been listening into you. There's so many issues for autistic people and their families. But this is one that I believe we can solve. And indeed, in fairness to the Minister, she said she would take it on board. And I think we can have a solution in place for next year, and it has to happen.
I know that we've covered it on the show as well, that particularly in South Kildare, there's been a lack of July summer programmes, and whether this is to do with, you know, schools or maybe lack of staff as well, because that's also worth pointing out, that you'd need to staff that for the month of July.
Of course you have to have that staff, and that's why I'm talking about a number of schools coming together on. It's been suggested to me, and I'm bringing it to the level through the Oireachtas Autism Committee, and I believe that that's the level that we need to discuss these issues at and bring it to the attention of the Minister. And I believe with a number of schools coming together, then we will have the staff, the experienced staff that are needed for these programmes, and then we can facilitate families and ensure that there is a program on for their loved ones. And that's what families are asking me for, that routine is maintained. And that is, again, I've said it a couple of times this morning, that's what families are crying out for.
Okay, Labour Senator Mark Wall, with those issues raised in the last few days, the Special Needs July Summer Programme needs to be accessible for all people next year and be available in each a town in each county, according to Mark Wall, and also the rail fares as well that we discussed in the south of the county. Thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this morning, Mark.